Hi, this is Baton Lash, creator of Supernatural Lore, and this is 15 Minutes with Mark Wade.
This will be the start. Daphne or Chip, who's ever editing this, this will be the start of the podcast, not this part, because that would be ridiculous.
All right.
Hey, it's 15 Minutes with Mark Wade, and now with editor Ian Brill. What's going to happen is that the co-hosts of 15 Minutes with Mark Wade are going to get less and less Jewish as we keep going
on. That's right, that's the plan.
Starts off with Daphne, of course, who is very Jewish, almost offensively so, and then me, who's half Jewish. You probably already tell that from the sound of my voice.
Right.
But yeah, we're here for people who don't know, which is 99% of the population, and nor should they know, that I'm an editor at Boom Studios. I look over the Farscape stuff, some originals, and I'm working on our collaborations with 20th Century Fox Studios, like the 28 Days Later book that we announced. And one of the things I do as an editor is I work with, and Mark does this, he's been doing it more than I have and is way better at it, is working with writers on planning out entire arcs as well as issues, individual issues. And one thing I want to talk about is coming up with a good first issue, because those are always the hardest, in both the just in terms of story and just in terms of procedure.
Yeah.
And then that there's, first issue comes out.
Just the reality of the actual first issue, yeah.
You think about all the great stuff you get to at the end.
Yeah.
And then you say, okay, but to get to this great stuff at the end, how do I wrestle it down?
Right.
That's you know, when I start, when I have this opening salvo, people will even bother to read, you know, page 12, let alone, you know, issue 2.
Yeah.
That's the tricky bit. Just to go, I'll let Mark speak, since this podcast is named after him.
Can I talk now?
No,
I'm just teasing. But, well, no, I mean, it is a challenge, and it's further compounded by the fact that I don't know about how you're approaching it with the books that you're editing for us, but my approach has, for a long time, when I first started doing comics, the idea was that first issue just had to be splashy, had to draw you into the rest of the series, obviously had to lay out the mission statement and explain what the characters were and stuff, and all that basic 101 stuff, although we should probably enumerate. I mean, actually, really what first issue needs to do is it needs to introduce the characters by name, explain who they are, tell me what they want. You don't have to explain everything. You can read the first issue of Preacher and not really understand all the nuances of character, and you don't really know what Cassidy is up to and so forth and so on, but you have some sense that the writer has a direction, even if you're not clued into every step of it, even if some of it's a mystery and there's suspense, at least you trust the writer enough to want to come back for the second issue because you think there's a direction here. So you name the characters, explain who they are, what they want, put basically the mission statement on the book, which is, this is basically what the book is about, tonally, thematically, this is kind of what the book is about. I have, in more recent years, for my own peace of mind, added on a clause to that as well, which is that, on top of all that, a really good first issue, to me, has an ending.
Yes.
Has an end, and not a, you know, I mean, you
and
can...
I've got a great example of that.
Yeah, please, yeah.
Ex Machina number one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ex Machina, one of the best.
That's one of the best first issues ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, that ends.
Yeah.
And you're like, what's going on?
Yeah. Well, same with Why the Last Man. Why the Last Man was one of the best first issues I ever read, because you get to the end, and there's, when I say ending, I don't mean you have to wrap everything up, obviously.
No. Yeah.
When I say ending, I mean that there's some sort of conflict that was set up somewhere in that book that gives you some, that you have some sort of resolution to at the end. Because I'm a big believer in the notion that you can trick people to coming back next issue if you want, with, you know, by giving them a cliffhanger on a first. And I'm talking about ongoing series more than I'm talking about a 4-issue miniseries or something like that. But you can do the cheap thing, which is to set up part one of your 12-part story, and it's all cliffhanger at the end, and there's no real resolution, and you're really only reading chapter one of a 12-part novel. That works to some degree, but I'm a big believer in giving the reader with that first installment a sense of closure to some degree and make them want to come back rather than feel like they have to come back.
Well, you prove, it, by giving it an ending, you prove you can do the, you know, basically the punchline, you set it up and then you... You tell the joke and it's got an ending.
Yeah.
That was, I don't know, not the best.
No, but you can. But no, but you, as opposed to just setting up the joke and then expecting the reader to go spend 12 more months to learn the punchline. There's, like I said, it can be done that way, and plenty of successful books are done that way in that very serial installment. But I don't know. I just.
But usually those are miniseries, though.
Yeah, usually those are miniseries. But even ongoings and stuff, like, you know, well, I don't know. Walking Dead actually has some sense of closure to the first few issues and stuff. As you get further into your ongoing, obviously the tapestry widens and it's, you know, and you can lay out more seeds and you don't have to worry about that sense of closure. But I really still, you know, without trying to be all old school about it, I really do feel like the best comics are the ones where even though there's plot threads, even though there's B stories, even though there's continuing subplots, that within that 22 pages or however many it is, there is some sort of conflict that is resolved so that you get some sense, as you would in a play or a TV show or you know, radio show or something. Where there's
some tension is released. Because otherwise, I can imagine a reader going, you know, maybe not getting that crazy. Yeah, but, I don't know who gets that crazy over a comic. Although, if you read the internet, you might have to imagine. Some people do. But you want the reader to see, you know, get kind of an aha moment.
Yeah.
To know that, you know, if this writer can give me this aha moment, if I stick with this book for 60 issues or whatever it is, you know, using Why the Last Man as an example, you know, they've got to have something good up their sleeve can just do this.
So now, what are some of the challenges you have encountered as a young editor working on first issues?
A lot of times a great hook is based on some research that a writer found. They're like, oh, did you know this? Cool little fact.
Right, did you know this location existed?
Yeah,
An interesting place for a story, or here's an interesting, you know, bit of technology that's on the rise that we can hang a story on. Yeah.
So that information that they gave you in a meeting or whatever, suddenly that same information is coming out of a character's mouth, they're also probably also sitting down. And so we're trying to, you know, we want, you know, all this talky stuff, and I love the talky stuff.
Yeah.
Mix in with, you know, it's fun to see someone get beat up. If it's not you.
That's not you. That's true. No, you need, clearly in a first issue you need exposition, but not to a mind-numbing point. But again, there's just so many, look, one of the hard and fast rules that I try to cling to is that it's not just enough to introduce a character visually.
Yeah.
If in a perfect world what you want to do is, in the same panel you introduce that character, you want to also make sure that someone says his name or that name is mentioned somewhere in that shot.
Yeah.
Specifically because you're working on the premise that then the brain will pick up the two and manage to fit them together. It's one thing, if you have to, you can introduce a character and then 2 pages later you can have somebody refer to him by name and you can kind of infer that that's who we're talking about. But it's just better if it's like all linked together visually right there. So...
Can I ask you one question?
Yeah.
What do you feel about the in media race? I probably mispronounced that. You know, Iron Man is an example of the Iron Man film where they started off in the middle and then it goes, whatever, it's 3 months later, Daphne will know she's the biggest Iron Man freak. Yeah. And or something like that, where you start off in the middle, so you get that explosive introduction, and then, all right, let's fill in who this guy is and all that stuff. Do you feel that's cheating?
I'd much rather do that.
Yeah.
I'd much rather do that than go through an abominable, you know, 40 minutes of not knowing and seeing all the pieces come together. I mean, it's overused a lot of time. I think especially in the 90s, we overused it like crazy with the idea that it's not, there is a school of thought that says your first page should have your character in action doing something bombastic. I'm not slavishly following that. I do think your first page needs to be visually interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, Flash punching out Captain Cold or Lucy from Hexed, you know, wrestling with a demon. It can just, as long as it's interesting and draws you in. You know, starting a story wherever you need to start it is fine, and doing the flashbacks to show how you got there is fine, but you have to be kind of careful because in 22 pages, you can very easily eat up 4 or 5 pages up front with action.
That's the biggest thing in comics writing. It's the weird math that just involves in I've got 8 pages here and five pages here.
And there's an instinct to it, and I think clearly for everybody it's going to be different, but I know when I sit down and write, if I'm writing my opening scene and I get past about page five, I just start to itch. You get in there and you're like, after about page five, so you've eaten up like a quarter of the real estate already.
I remember
you
talking to Paul Morrissey, our Incredibles editor, about this when you were writing The Incredibles.
Yeah.
I mean, you have five characters.
Yeah.
Because you get to use Jack-Jack. Yeah. And plus the villain.
Yes.
Plus the animal dinosaur that he creates. Yeah. So, you know, you have to set all that up.
It just feels better now that I see it in print, but it still feels like, no, I got no complaints. We still have not gotten any complaints about that, so that's good.
No, it's an awesome scene. I mean, I've seen little kids open up that double page spread and just go, you know, wow, that's, you know, it's animals turning into dinosaurs. And
another device, by the way, that is way overused is the 2-page spread.
Yeah.
I think you need, I will claim that you need it.
Underused is the 3-page spread.
That's right. I would claim that you actually, Steranko did this thing in the 60s that would have made people insane today. You could afford to do it when comics were 12 cents, but he did a 4-page spread.
Oh, I have the trade paperback with that.
Yeah, he did a 4-page spread where you literally had to buy 2 issues of the comic and lie them down like side by side to get the full impact. And, you know, that at 12 cents, it's okay. I mean, if I have to spend $3.99 to do that again, I'm going to get cranky about
it. You'd be spending $8 to do that,
But the 2-page spread is a crutch. It's easily used. I will defend the fact that you are able to use it if you've got 5 Incredibles and a villain and an army of rampaging dinosaurs coming down the road. I will defend that choice. Also because that's a horizontal scene.
Yeah.
There's no way to do that where it's not a horizontal landscape. Like
Unless they're all just the Incredibles just running away.
That's true. You could do that.
And it's just this one kind of like looks like the opening of a National Geographic.
Or unless you
Mr. Incredible running.
Or unless you want to do the ultimate cheat in my mind, which I hate beyond words, which is having the page sideways so that you have to turn the comic.
I've seen that.
Hate this.
That was a thing.
I hate it. You, Daphne, your thoughts on the sideways page?
I was thinking it might be kind of cool.
No,
you're not. The character get knocked out, and he falls, and his perspective changes.
Oh, well, see, that's different.
You could play with it.
That's different, but that way you could. But that's part of a story. Becomes an intrinsic part of the story. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a huge amount of work. I don't work up a sweat doing that. Anything that takes me out of the experience, If I'm watching TV at home, I don't have to suddenly go turn my TV on its side. You know, if I'm watching a movie, I don't have to turn my head at the movie theater, although I would like to have sometimes this weekend. So, what do we decide a first issue is?
We really decide more what a first issue isn't
than
what it is. But that's all right.
It's clarity.
Clarity.
It's setting up the mission statement. It's the theme. It's the it's the tone. You know, I John Rogers did the first issue of Blue Beetle with Keith Giffen, and it was a really good first issue. And I really liked it a lot. When I got the first time I got to look at the first issue, and this is no knock on John, it was just, I think he and Keith weren't completely communicating what the tone of the book was.
Yeah.
And my only criticism of the first draft script was that I didn't get a sense from reading it.
Yeah.
Is it a horror book or is it a superhero book?
Mm-hmm.
It can be both, but I'm just saying I need some overwhelming sense of what the tone is going to be rather than leave it a mystery to me.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, and that's a problem with a lot of books, actually, is I pick them up and I can't really tell from the first issue, on a general sense, what I can expect to be reading.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I have to know everything, but I just need to know if you want me back next month, is it a horror series, which is cool? Is it let it be what it needs to be, or is it a...
Have it be neither fish nor fowl.
Is it comedy? Is it whatever it is? That's fine, but just you need to set that up in the first issue. So, characters, clarity, mission statement, good art, you know, what else do we leave off the list?
Like true editors, we ignored the art completely.
I know. Oh, yes, we need art as well, so. Well, I guess that wraps it up for this time.
Yeah.
That's another, you know, 15 Minutes with Wade podcast. We have Ian Brill. Thank you for stopping in, Ian.
Hey, no problem.
And we will see you next week.
Absolutely.